mention God's voice in creation, God's voice in circumstances, and this morning I'd like to touch on God's voice in our thoughts. In our thoughts. Now let's look at some examples of people, some of them don't really know God, who catch a little bit of God's voice flowing in their thoughts. Both those who don't know God and some of those who know God. And let me point at some of those people in the book of Daniel. And at that time, the king of Babylon was the foremost ruler of the entire known world. If I can put it this way, he was like the head in his time, in his generation. He was the head of gold. His empire was a head of gold. And he was ruling on top of the empire. Something happened one fine day as he was about to sleep. Chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. Verse 1. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. So he couldn't get back to sleep again. And then the king called the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans to tell the people his dreams. They all came, stood before him, and they couldn't interpret his dreams. And we all know the rest of the story, how Daniel managed to seek God and found the interpretation of dream after much prayer. And then when Daniel was interpreting the dream, he made a statement about how the dream came. What were the circumstances that caused Nebuchadnezzar, the king of his time, to tap on a prophecy of the Lord for the entire ages? And mind you, that prophecy hasn't even come to pass yet. Because the head of gold was his empire, then there was silver and Persian, the Medo-Persian Empire, then there was the Greek Empire, then there was a Roman Empire, right down to the ten toes, which hasn't come to pass yet. But that was a word from the Lord. That was a word of prophecy. No prophet delivered it. The king tapped on something. That's what we want to consider. How he tap upon that when he don't know Lord, the Lord. When he don't have a relationship with the Lord. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, Daniel says in verse 29. That night, he says, King Nebuchadnezzar. That's for a shorter phrase. Let's call him King Nebu. Right? I found that Aussies like to shorten things to two little syllables. Right? And Australia become Aussie, right? And then the soccer team becomes Socceroos or something like that. Verse 29. He says, that night, O King Nebu. Daniel is an Aussie. If Daniel was an Aussie, he'd say, O King Nebu. Says, as for you, O King Nebu, thoughts came. Now notice it. Thoughts came to your mind while on your bed. Now this is before he had a dream. Thoughts came. Can you say the word thoughts? See, there are thoughts that are flowing. Thoughts came to your mind while you were on your bed about what would come to pass after you. That is, after you die, after your kingdom pass. You were wondering, what will happen next? And that night he had a dream. A powerful dream. Question. Was it God who was bringing about the thoughts? I believe so. Now King Nebu was not a really nice guy. You wouldn't want to be his friend. And a very fierce guy, kills people like nobody's business. And King Nebu somehow tapped on that flow of thoughts. It was, I believe, God who was trying to reveal something to him. This is a non-Christian. And then you have Daniel himself in the opposite way. In the book of Daniel, it tells us in verse 15, chapter 7, that is. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. Since we are on Daniel, let's look at that. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So there was all kinds of things that keep coming to Daniel. Look at verse 28, it emphasized. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Both after the vision, and probably before the vision, and after the vision, and after the interpretation, he kept having these thoughts. The thoughts were so strong that the Bible uses a word, they troubled him. They constantly come to him, like a wave, constantly coming to trouble him, even after the angel has departed. They trouble him so much that the Bible uses this phrase in verse 28, that his countenance changed. You and I know that our faces reflect our mind. A happy mind produces a happy face. A sad mind produces a sad face. A fierce mind produces a fierce face. Right? Our thoughts get reflected on our face. Now here, on that day, Daniel was out of his normal face. You know, every one of us have a normal face. And then once in a while, you have an abnormal face. That's when we pray for you. And Daniel had an abnormal face that day. He was one of the senior ministers. So can you imagine? His face was so affected that, you know, he must have looked different that day. Why was he different? He never said anything. Not a single word escaped his lips. But he was bombarded by these thoughts that continued to flow on and on. The visions came from God. And the thoughts were flowing from God. Now here is a different man. He is a believer. A man who walked close with God. And he too tapped on what I call the river of thoughts. An unbeliever and a believer. There is something flowing out in the unseen realm. There is a river of thoughts that are flowing out there. In the book of Job, chapter 33, you have an interesting statement and an understanding of the philosophers and wise people of that time make this observation about God. And the person who made this statement is Elihu. Remember, there were four friends, three friends of Job, and then the fourth one called Elihu. Everything the first three said is not good. The only one that said something reasonable and something in line with the word was the fourth man called Elihu. And this is a statement made by Elihu in chapter 33. And it says here in verse 15. Let's start from verse 14. Job 33 verse 14 onwards. For God may speak. Now God is speaking. He said, God may speak in one way or in another. Yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man, was slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of man, and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. This statement here says that God speaks to men in dreams, in visions, and of course those will become thoughts that flow to them. Because a thought is also a picture, and not just a sentence in words and letters. God speaks to every one of us, even when we are slumbering, in order to turn us away from evil and the wrong ways into the right path. He's doing that to King Nebuchadnezzar, he does that to Daniel, he does that to everyone, and this statement still holds true. Of course, we realize that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that it says that a dream can come through much activity. So even though God speaks to dreams and visions, it doesn't mean that every dream and vision you have is necessarily initiated by God. Even though God speaks in thoughts, it doesn't necessarily mean that every thought is God's. Because we know the enemy can cause a wrong flow of thoughts, and we ourselves can create our own thoughts from our own situations and our own choice. But let's focus on this fact that God's thoughts are flowing to His people. He's speaking to His people, and our mind is a receiver of thoughts, not just a producer of thoughts. Our brain and our mind does not just create thoughts. That's what we are taught in school, in biology and natural science. But our mind has the ability to catch on to God's thoughts that flow. It's open to God's thoughts. And of course, in some wrong circumstances, where evil is involved, they tap on the enemy's thoughts. And thus, they fulfill the enemy's plans. And sometimes the thoughts flow without us realizing it. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says to His disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then Peter stood up and says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what Jesus said to him in the next few verses in Matthew 16? Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," etc., 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 etc. And now he didn't say that, etc. I'm just shortening it. Okay, if you understand. And then the main statement Jesus made was this: "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Spirit of my Father is speaking to you." Was Peter aware that the Spirit was putting those thoughts in his mind? When Jesus said, who do you say that I am? There was a thought that came to him. He is the Christ. And this thought has been on him throughout the 3 years ministry. But it got stronger and stronger, and now he really believes it. Who was behind that thought? Not him. Peter was not clever enough to deduce that. It was the Holy Spirit. And Jesus recognized that the thought came from the Spirit of God. So thoughts are flowing all the time. We need to pick up the flow of God's thoughts. And I've established from Job 33 that God does those things in order to have us understand the flow of the thoughts that are available out there. Now, in order to see this and understand this flow of thoughts, there must be some sort of river out there flowing. In fact, the name of Jesus before He came to the planet Earth, in the Greek it says, in John chapter 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Logos," which is the Word, "and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God." The word Logos, translated as the Word, to the Greek, the idea of the Logos is that the Logos is the very source of life and thoughts and ideas and wisdom. That Jesus is the fountain of wisdom. That Jesus is all in all of the wisdom. That God is wisdom personified. So that to the Greeks, every philosophical thought, every good thought, everything that they have that explains the universe, that is true and truth, they acknowledge to the source of those thoughts. Logos. That's the beginning. Now, you and I have our human natural thoughts. We're all very finite, tiny little pieces of God's creation. You and I know that if God does something, He is so powerful that the whole universe can shake. The whole Milky Way is just a cup of pea, smaller than that, in the ocean of God's creation. Now, what about this? Think about this. When God thinks, is there power released? You and I know that when God works, power is released. Now, the question I'm asking you is this. When God thinks, of course, He thinks in ways which you can't imagine, but let's try to see it, right? I'm running out of human vocabulary to describe it. So, when God thinks, is there power release? When we strike a musical instrument, like a tuning fork, if there is another piece of instrument, another piece of tuning fork, exactly of the same material and exactly to the same conformity and measurement. When you strike one tuning fork,